don't know. Okay, so we have the Gemara in Zion. We ended off the sugya of Mechila with the Ksuva, so they have a bit of a suffix on Zion. I don't want to get into what the Gemara is talking about over there, but basically there are two Lashonas in the Gemara as to what was the Machlokis, or whether or not there was a Machlokis between Rabbi Shuben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So according to one day in the Gemara, there was a Machlokis between Rabbi Shuben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, and the Talmidim knew exactly what each Rebbe said. They just were quoting it as a machlokes. And the other day in the Gemara is that the Talmidim were arguing about what Rabbi Yochanan said, and they were also arguing about what Rabbi Shuben Levi said, and therefore, it's quite possible that Rabbi Shuben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan did not have a machlokes. So the Gemara ends off, right? So the Gemara ends off. So we choose the Mahalach that says that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuben Levi were arguing, but the Talmidim all knew what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuben Levi said. And the Gemara says, "My kamashmalan." Right before the Mishnah, it says, "Hal kamashmalan de pligi trei amoroi ataima de nafshayu velo pligi trei amoroi aliba de charamor." So basically, it means that we want a situation where the two amoroim would be arguing based on their own svaras, and we don't want to come to a situation where there's two amoraim arguing what another amora said. Right? We much prefer there to be, we know what the amoraim said, and they're arguing. Versus, we're not sure what either amora said. Could be that one amora said that it's, you know, one way, and it could be said another way. So that's Rashi. There's a long Rashi over here in Hakamash Malan. I'm not going to read it over in its entirety, but basically Rashi says that if you have this opportunity, you have a choice. You can have two Amoraim arguing over what one Amora said, or you can have two Amoraim arguing, we know exactly what they said, and each one holds something different from the other one. So he said, every time we're going to go with the Shita that knows what the Amoraim said, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuben Levi can be arguing Aliba de Svara de Nafshayu. We don't have to have a suffix what Rabbi Yochanan said and what Rabbi Shuben Levi said. Why is that? I'll just read it, picking it up from the middle of the Rashi. It says, Shavkinan ahai lishna de miflagi trei amoroi Aliba de Chad. We chuck out the shita that the two amoroim are arguing according to one amora what he really said. Vinaktinan ahi de miflagi trei amoroi Aliba de Nafshayu. And we accept the one that says that they're arguing on their own. They're arguing based on their own reasonings. The chipligi trei aliba dechad maramahachi amaploni. Maramahachi amaploni chad minaam mishaker. So it's as if they're arguing. I say Rabbi Yochanan said this, and you say Rabbi Yochanan said that. So he either said one or he said the other. He didn't say both. So therefore, one of us is going to be dead wrong. Avo chipligi trei amaroi bedin o beiser veheter. So each one said his own shita, mistaber taima, right? So he says, and each one has his own svara, ein kan sheker. Kol chad v'chad, svara di dei kamar. Each one is saying his own svara. Mar yoev taima lehetero, mar yoev taima lisura. Mar midami milsa lemilsa hachi, mar midami binyana nachrina. Each one learns the sugya differently, and it's not really a machlokas where one is dead right and one is dead wrong. So this is, right? And Rashi says that if we have a machlokes where Rabbi Yochanan knows exactly what he holds and we know exactly what he holds, and Rabbi Yochanan can say this is my sheet, then I have my logic and I have my rayas, and Rabbi Shuben Levi can say, no, this is my logic, I have my reasoning and my rayas. So then we have an Elav Elav Divilokim Chayim case. And we can accept both opinions as being the word of Hashem. Ikal HaMeimar, we did that already, sorry. Zimnin D'Shayach HaYitayimah, Zimnin D'Shayach HaYitayimah. Sha'atam Mishapech Lefi Shinoi Advarim B'Shinoi Muat. So it's an interesting word at the end. He says that, and it's possible that under certain circumstances we would accept one Amoris Svara over the other, and on other set of circumstances it would be the reverse. So it sounds like, and the circumstances could change, and the Psak Halacha could change under very, very slight change in the circumstances. depending on how we look at it. Yeah.
Is it defining what Eilu Be'ilu is?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll get back to that. So basically, this is Rashi seemingly saying Eilu Be'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim means that each shita in Amoraim is legitimate, and just depending on either our point of view or the circumstances, it's shayach to accept one svara versus the other, or it's shayach that one guy's rayas are more compelling if you look at it from this vantage point, and it's shayach that another guy's rayas are more compelling if you look at it from a separate vantage point. But definitely, there is no way to say eilu ve'eilu divrei kim chayim if in fact it's a machlokes in mitzias. Did Rabbi Yochanan say X or did Rabbi Yochanan say Y? There, what are you going to say? Eilu ve'eilu, one guy's wrong. Rabbi Yochanan did not say those words. So therefore, we leave it as a machlokes where each amora knows what he holds, right? And Rabbi Kiveger here in the Golion Hashas sends you to the most famous case of Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, which is in Erevin Dafi Gimel Mibbeis. There, the Gemara has the famous situation of the Baskol, where it says that the Shami and Basila were arguing for many years, and in the end, a Baskol came out and settled it and said, Eilu Ve'ilu. Right, so we pass him like Basilo in that based on that Baskol, and the Gemara asks over there, why did the Baskol come out? And it says, because why did it pass like Basilo? So it says an interesting thing, because Basilo were such gevaldige bali midos, and they were always mevater on their own covid, and they would always be makdim divrei beishamai le divrei, right? They would always quote beishamai shita before they quoted their own. So we'll have to see what's the pshat there also, that they quoted Beis Shammai first, so what? In other words, so you have a machlokes between two Talmidei Chachamim, so you just paskin which guy is nicer? And also, it's really, Beis Shammai was so mean, they weren't so nice. So we'll have to try to figure it out a little bit. Okay. So just wanted to talk a little bit about this inyan of Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So in the Rishonim, it's very clear what... In the Rishonim, it's very clear what this means. You have this Rashi, and you have the Ritva, the very famous Ritva. He quotes from the Balei HaTosfos in that Gemara in Erevin on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where the Ritva, I have a little of his lashon written down. He quotes a little bit from the Gemara in Megillah. Says that Ki kisha'ala Moshe lemarim lekabel Torah, when Moshe went up to Shemayim to get the Torah, heru lo. Al kol davar v'davar memtes panim le'isur or memtes panim le'heter, right? And he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him 49 ways to aser something and 49 ways to be matur something. V'shol HaKadosh Baruch Hu al zeh v'omar shehezeh masur lechach me Yisrael shebechol dor v'dor v'yihachra kemosam. We're going to give over the right to paskin using any of these 49 ways in this direction and 49 ways in that direction. So we're going to give that over to the Chachmei Dor Vador, and we're going to paskin like them. And Nochon Hu, Lefi Hadrash. So says the Ritva, that is the correct Pshat, the Rabbanei Tzarfas' Pshat is correct, according to the Drash. So I don't know what that means exactly. It says, Uvederecha Emes Yesh Tam V'Sod B'Dover. He says, I happen to be privy to a more Kabbalistic Pshat, but I'll keep that one to myself, says the Ritva. Okay, so you know, V'Amevin Yovin. Like, okay, I'm neither a maven nor a yavin. I don't know what he's referring to, but that's the end quote of the Ritva and Erevin. And this is very similar to what we saw in Rashi, that really every inyan in halacha, you can look at it numerous ways in either direction, and at the end of the day, you're going to come out one way or the other. But it's not going to be because one side is more emesdik than the other side. It's going to be masur to the chachamim of kol dor v'dor. And according to that, we're going to come out that's the halacha for the generation, and that's how we paskin. But not that one sheet is more correct than the other sheet. Okay. There is another Gemara where it uses the phrase Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, which is a little bit in a different context than the Gemara in Erevin and Rashi over here. The Gemara in Gittin discusses the topic in Sefer Shoftim of Pilegish Begiva. So the Gemara there has a discussion, what was it that got the whole thing started with the Pilegish Begiva, that she got kicked out of her house and she had to wander the streets. So the Gemara has a machlokes exactly what she did wrong. Rav Yasser Omer Zvuv Matzala. So this is the Rav Yasser says that he found a fly in the soup or something like that. Rav Yonasan Omer Nima Matzala. He found a hair. So either way, it was something. It wasn't exactly a very big deal, right? But he decided enough is enough. I've put up with one fly, and one fly is one too many, and you're out of here. Right? So, and then the Gemara says later on in the same Amid, the very famous line, very important for everybody to know, right? It says, La'olam al yatil adam eimli yiseir b'toch besa. You want to rule the roost? Okay, you can rule the roost. But no, you don't put eimli yiseir b'toch besa. People in your house shouldn't be terrified of you. You know, should be a midas harachamim and a midas hadin. It shouldn't just be, daddy's home, now it's whooping time. You know, like, it should be very clear that, that people can talk to you and approach you, and you don't have to fly off the handle off after every little thing. And that's basically what caused the whole Ma'ase with Pilegish Begiva, which led to many, many deaths in Klal Yisrael, that there was an Eimei Yisera, and he kicked her out of the house right away. Anyway, so the Gemara continues, Ashkechei Rav Yasser Leliyo. So Rav Yasser saw one time Eliyo Anavi, Amar Lei, Maiko Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just, once you have Eliyo Anavi, so you want to ask him some cool questions. They say, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing right now? So he says, Amar Lei, Osik B'Pilegish B'Giva. He's actually learning the Sugya Pilegish B'Giva. Well, Maiko Amar, so who's right? Says Amar Lei, Ev Yasser B'Nikachu Omer, Yonasan B'Nikachu Omer. So the Rabbanu Shalom is also clearing. He says, my son Ev Yasser says like this, and my son Yonasan says like that. So he's quoting you guys both. So Amar Lei, Rav Yasser says, Chas V'Shalom U'mi'ika Sveika Kamishmaya. So he says, what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know? A, he was there. B, even if he wasn't there, he was there. You know, like he's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are we talking about here? So Amar Lei, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim hein, zvuv matzah v'lo hikpid, nima matzah v'hikpid. I think Gemara goes weiter trying to figure out what the pshat was over there. But basically, both interpretations of the story are actually true. He first found the zvuv and he wasn't so upset. It started the ball rolling. He got a little upset. And then he found the nima and he got very upset. It was a cumulative effect. So you guys were both right in your interpretation of the pasuk. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi was saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so proud that both Amoraim were mechavin to the correct pshat. Okay. So that's a little bit different, you see, because that's talking about what we call parshanut. That's the interpretation of Tanakh. So there, it's on some levels, it's almost easier to say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, and on some levels, it's more difficult to say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. I don't know exactly what the pshat is. There's a Tshuva Saradvaz where he seems to imply that it's very, very easy to say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim in parshanut in interpreting Tanakh, but in halacha we don't give such free license to say Elu ve'elu. Not everything is Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Sometimes one guy is right and one guy is wrong. But when it comes to Tanakh, you want to learn Chumash, you want to learn Navi, whatever. When it comes to Tanakh, then already we say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim very loosely. So part of me wants to say just the opposite. Part of me wants to say, let's say you have a very, very important machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban, Lagabe Avram Avinu, right? Avram Avinu, when he went down to Mitzrayim, so Rashi says, Givaldik, that was one of the 10 tests, and he passed. Right? What was the test? The test wasn't whether or not I was going to go down to Mitzrayim. That's ridiculous. Of course that wasn't a test. Right? That was understood. Me'elov, he's going to go down to Mitzrayim. He's not going to die in a famine. Right? The test was, would he be Maharher Acharei Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Would he think bad thoughts? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me I got to go to this crazy land over here and then the second I get there, there's no food? So that's it. So Avram didn't think that for a second. He did. He went where he was supposed to go. And he did the right thing by going down to Mitzrayim, and he wasn't Mahar Acharei Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Givaldik. And the Ramban says just the opposite. He says the whole thing was a chait. He uses a very harsh lashon. He says, chait gadol chata b'shogeg, or something like that. The words osa tzadik are in there somewhere. Chet gadol chata osa tzadik b'shogeg. Something along that effect. He was a tremendous chet that he did b'shogeg. It wasn't amazing, God forbid, but I'm saying it was Avraham Avinu made a huge mistake. And he says, well, the two mistakes. Number one, he put his wife in a makom sakana. Put his wife in a situation where she could have gotten in serious trouble. And number two, he should have had bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him. So the Ramban not only says that this was not one of the 10 tests, but had it been one of the 10 tests, Avraham Avinu would have failed it. And not only that, the Ramban wants to say, right? The Ramban wants to say that this is the reason why Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim for 210 years. Right? You familiar with such a Ramban? You ever heard of it? It's Kedai, take a look at it. So I'm saying he says, this is the reason Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim for 210 years. Right? So he has a line at the end. He says, Bimakom. I don't remember the Lashon. You know the Lashon? Makom something, Shom HaResh HaVachet. Makom HaOnish, maybe. Makom HaOnish, Shom HaResh HaVachet. I'm not sure if that's the exact Lashon of the Ramban. But the Ramban says at that point, where you see the punishment, that's where you find the Chet. I once saw quoted an interpretation for the Ramban. What does he mean by those lines? So he says, he quotes the Gemara in Brachos, where you remember the Gemara Brachos talks about Yisurin. Right, so it says a person who has Yisurin, he should be Mefash Resh B'maisav, right? So one of the Amorim, was it Rav Huna maybe? That he had a whole bunch of barrels of wine that turned into vinegar. You know what I'm talking about? He had a ton of wine and the wine all turned into vinegar. So he went to his fellow Chachamim and he said to them, listen to what happened, this is terrible. So they said to him back, it says, no, you're having Yisurin, you should be Mefash Resh B'maisav. Is there anybody that you wronged? A little offended by that statement. He says, "Mi chashed ana b'inaychu? I'm chashed in your eyes. You suspect me of doing the wrong thing?" So they answered back, "Umi chashed kutshabrichu v'inecha da'avidina below dina." Says what? So what's the alternative? You're a big tzaddik. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a bigger tzaddik. So he says, "You're accusing Hakadosh Baruch Hu of doing injustice." So he says, "If I have to choose between you being guilty of something and Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Being guilty of something, no offense, but I'm going to take you every single time. So the Gemara concludes that he was Mefashe for Maisav and he realized that he had a sharecropper who he didn't pay his salary. So he says, the reason I don't pay his salary is because he's a ganav and he steals more from me than his actual salary. So he said, nevertheless, you got to pay him. So he paid him, and then the Gemara recalls that either it turned back, miraculously turned back into wine, or that the price of vinegar went up so much that it sold for even more than wine. So either way, once he was mefashed, he might as well come back. But they say about the Ramban that that's the pshat, what the Ramban means at the end. He says, "B'makom ha'onish shama resha v'achet." Right? Saying, don't yell at me for accusing Avraham Avinu of doing an avera. So he says, because it's not my fault. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault. What, he's just going to send the Bnei Yisrael down to Mitzrayim and subject them to incredibly intense and difficult labor and have them be beaten and their children killed for no good reason? That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, I'd rather accuse Avraham Avinu of doing a chait than a Kadosh Baruch Hu of doing a chait. So he says, okay, so that's the pshat. He says, I looked, what could possibly have happened that caused the Bnei Yisrael to go down to Mitzrayim? And this is what I found. Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim in a way that was a little bit iffy. So I said, okay, maybe that's the iffy that caused Klal Yisrael to have to go down there. Anyway, Lemaisa, it's hard to. So I think what the Radvaz would say is, yes, so you're not machlokes. Say elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim. But really? So just because there's no nafkamina, halacha lemaisa, you're going to automatically say elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim, how we look at Avraham Avinu? Fine, I hear the tain on one hand, but on the other hand, you could also say fakir. Either Avraham Avinu did a huge mitzvah or a huge aver. Not a huge aver. Either did a huge mitzvah or a little aver. Right? But it's not both. You can't say both opinions are right. It definitely wasn't a huge mitzvah, but nevertheless, Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim for 210 years. You hear what I'm saying? So it's a little, that's why it rubs me a little bit the wrong way that they say that you could interpret, if you're interpreting Tanakh, so there's more license to say, also here, if you look in the Gemara, by Pilegish Begiva, you look in the Gemara and Gittin Vavam and Beis, it's not so shayach to say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim there that he dafka happens to be that they were both on the money. They were both 100% right. in the sense that he found a Zvuv and he found a Nima. But Hu Adinami, one of them could have been right, and the other one could have been wrong. The only reason we said Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim is that happens to be. They were both right. Okay, so obviously when the Tanoim and the Amoraim are learning Chumash, they know how to cue in on the textual clues to darshan the Torah correctly. But that doesn't mean every single time somebody darshans the Torah, you're going to say Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, even if what they're saying is mistaber, and even if what they're saying is sound in the text. I don't know. Did you guys listen to that shiur that Rav Schechter gave, that talk Rav Schechter gave for Rav Gerelich? You heard that? So he said that some people used to complain about when they have a drasha in the Gemara, how did they get that out of that? So he said, I forgot the exact example he gave. Is it plastic maybe? Where do they get plastic from, do you know? You get it from petroleum? Does that make sense? They get plastic out of petroleum? I don't know. Something to get out of petroleum that doesn't make any sense. Rav Gerelich used to say to the students, he says, if you have this piece of plastic, and I tell you, where did it come from? He says, it's extracted from petroleum. So he says, what? Extracted? He says, this is a solid, that's a liquid. So he says, this the petroleum they use to power cars and rockets, and you're making a plastic bag out of it? He says, what's going on here? So he says, no, the scientists who make the stuff know exactly how to get the plastic out of the petroleum. He says, so too, to you, maybe the layman, you know, who doesn't have his head exactly where the Tanaim and Amram had their heads. So he says, so they knew how to get the drush out of the pasuk. He says, maybe to you, you look at the pasuk, you see petroleum. They look at the pasuk, they see plastic. They understand how to do it. So he says, so Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, when the Tanaim and Amram are darshaning psukim, they're not going to miss out on little contextual clues. They're not going to miss out on any little thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was employing in the Tanakh. But I don't know that means that definitely you say Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim every single time a person darshans a pasuk in Tanakh. Yeah.
I was trying to say that it's easier to say Eilu Veilu like in a halachic thing, or just not.
I'm arguing that maybe you could say such a thing. I'm arguing that on one level it could be easier, meaning you could have a lot of situations in halacha where, yes, I say mutter, you say aser, but still it's shayach that our svaras are glot and that Inyan was given over to the chachamim of every generation. Meaning, obviously, halacha l'maaseh, it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what I say. But I'm saying the gedolei ador, shebechol dor v'dor, that they have the right to paskin shailas based on alternate svaras. And it could very well be that both svaras are glot and both svaras make perfect sense and they're solid in the sources with the gemaras and the rishonim and the achronim, whatever. But halacha l'maaseh, we're only going to accept one, not the other. But that doesn't mean that one that we accept is more correct than the one we reject, even though they're diametric opposites. On the other hand, when you're interpreting the Chumash, we can't both be right if we're interpreting an incident that took place. So we can't necessarily both be right. I don't know. It's just a thought. It's just a thought. Anyway, that's Rashi and the Ritva, the basic pshat, how they learn Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Interestingly, some achronim go out on their own in interpreting what's pshat Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. They have a much less feel good interpretation to what Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There's a Torah Tamima where he comes out beferish. The Torah Tamima is in Parshas Baaloscha, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin, when it says Osvuli Shivim Zakenim. It quotes in one of the footnotes over there. He says, "Nira akavona mipnei shekol dover ayotzi mipi echad eino boru kol kach." If you have one guy, it's not going to be so clear. Ki yachaliyo sheshogag v'ta, mashenkin dover ayotzi me'asifas chachamim hu chazak ve'eson kamo natua b'masmerim mishum dekevan sherabim chakru v'shaklu v'taru bazeh b'vaday chakru v'dorshu v'amdu al taimo shel dover ubiruro. Lahotzi emes lamito. Says when you have a gathering of talmidei chachamim, there's no stone that's going to go unturned. There's no way that they're going to make a careless mistake. If one guy makes a careless mistake, the other guy's going to beat him over the head with it, and the other guy's going to say, "Look, no, you're wrong over here," and he's going to argue back. And through all of that give and take, it's going to become emes lamito. They're going to get they're going to for sure get the 100% correct psak halacha. Va'al yisod svorezu be'yarnu b'mokam acher ha'maymer ha'yadua elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. As we explained elsewhere, I'm not sure where elsewhere he's referring to, but we explained elsewhere the famous statement, Eilu ve'ilu de'ilu kim chayim, asher rabim tarchu ba'avan asa. Many people try to understand it. Ki eichi tachin, she zeh she'omer mutter ve'zeh she'omer asur, shneyem divrei emes. V'haloa emes rak echad hu. The truth is only one. There's not two truths. U'be'yarnu ha'kavona mishum da'alpi deos shonos u'misnagdos zeh l'zeh, bo'os svoros shonos u'mitoch kach misbarer amitas adin. It's because when you have a lot of opinions, it helps you zero in on the correct one. Right? That's the, they say, B'shem Thomas Edison, I don't know if it's true. B'shem Thomas Edison, they said he failed 1,000 times at making the light bulb before he made a correct one. So they said to him, didn't it get frustrating failing 1,000 times to make a light bulb? So they say, whether that he responded, I didn't fail 1,000 times at making a light bulb. I succeeded 1,000 times as learning how not to make a light bulb. Right? So the pshat is, by failing 1,000 times, it became so clear exactly what the correct way to make a light bulb was, those 1,000 times weren't a waste. So he says, therefore, I needed those 1,000 failures in order to come to the correct conclusion as the proper way to how to make a light bulb. So that's, I don't know. So that's kind of what the Torah to me is saying here. He goes on a little bit more. And he basically says that that really Eilu ve'ilu de'ilu kim chayim is not as nice as we make it out to be. That one guy is totally right and one guy is totally wrong. But we wouldn't have really understood the guy who was right without the guy who was totally wrong. And therefore he is useful as well. Right, he's useful as a stepping stone to understand the true interpretation. So, okay, that's definitely against the Rishonim. At the very least, it's against the Rishonim, but it's also against Gemaras. No, it's against the Gemara that we mentioned that there's Memtes Panim Lakan. It's against the Hemshecha Gemara in Erevin where they talk about that in order to be on the Sanhedrin, you have to figure out all these ways to be Tara Sheretz. Right, it's. I don't know why he decides to go out on this mahalach. There are others who go on a similar mahalach, and in the Sivis, in his hakdama to the sefer, is a pretty short hakdama, as far as hakdamas go, and he references his hakdama to the sefer Chavis Das on Yeridaya, and he says that I mentioned over there already that I'm not perfect. He said, I'm not saying that this sefer is so great. You might like it, you might not. And he basically goes on and he says, if you like the sefer, good, I'm happy. If you think it's emesdik, I'm thrilled. He says, if you don't like it, then you don't have to listen to it. He says that if it's nonsense, it's nonsense. I'll read you some of the lashon. He says, Ve'av gam zos im she hashgiyah v'hatos sheker him batzmuso. He says, even if what I'm writing is nonsense, there's still something good that can come from it. Ubebir Amru Chazal quotes the Gemara in Mem Gimel Med Aleph in Gittin. Ain't at the moment al divrei Torah elam kein nichsholbo. He says, you're not going to really chop your learning unless you first stumbled in it. V'ho'inyan ki yadu asher Torah nimshol olamayim v'kasheri. Right, and he goes on. He says that. When you're diving, he gives a mashal, when you're diving in the ocean and you're trying to find pearls in the ocean, so you first have to, you're going to feel and you're going to come up and you're just going to have a piece of cheres, or you're just going to have a piece of shell from the oyster. You're not going to come up with the pearl the first few times. He says, but if you feel around enough times, you're going to learn how to pull up the pearl and you're going to realize that this is the right thing. And then when you go back down there and you constantly look and look and look, you're always going to come out with a pearl. And you're going to become an expert at figuring out exactly where the pearls are located and where everything else is located. So he seems to say that the pshat is that Eilu ve'ilu de'ilu kim chayim. Well, again, he doesn't use this lashon, but he seems to say, at least for his sefer, he says, yeah, if you don't like the sefer, I hear the taina, I'm not perfect. He says, I might not even be all that good. Lamaisa, the test of time has shown that he's quite excellent. Saying, the Rav Yaakov Milisa, the Rav Yaakov Lurbabam, the author of the Nesivos HaMishpat, he's the counterpart to the Ktos HaChoshen. And he also wrote many others for him. He has a very good sefer that it doesn't get quoted that often anymore in Ksuvis, but back in the day, he had to learn Beis Yaakov on Ksuvis, I'm saying. But he has on everything. He has on all kinds of Masechtas. And he also has on different Chalakim. He has the Chavis Das and the Sivis HaMishpat, and he has a Gevaldige Pirush on Megillas Esther, by the way. called the Megillah Starim. The Gevaldik Pirush on Megillah Esther. Well, he wrote on a ton of things. He has Tshuvas, yeah, he has a lot of stuff. He has on Hilchos Pesach, the Makor Chaim. Anyway, Lemaisa, so he writes basically that in my Sefer, if you don't like every single thing that I wrote, or you don't like anything that I wrote, he says, at least let it serve as a tool. He says, it'll be the good starting point for a shir. You start off the shir with the Shulchan Aruch says, the Nesivus says like this, and Avada he's wrong, and you slug it up, and then you show what the correct shot is. He says, at least I'm good for cannon fodder. You know, my Sefer hopefully will be good for something one way or the other. But this is the Yisod that the Torah Tamima was talking about, that Eilu Ve'Eilu Devil Kimchayim means that something is useful, even though at the end of the day, it might not be the shita that we hold like, it might not be the shita that is accepted. Okay, just along the lines of the Torah Tamima's Mahalach, one of my former students once told me, B'Shem Rav Tzvi Berkowitz, because the Gemara says in Erevin, as we mentioned, that because Beis Hillel had such fantastic midos, that we dafka say Eilu Ve'Eilu Devil Kimchayim by them. So he says, if you learn like the Torah Tamima, you can make sense out of that Hemshech HaGemara. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that since Beis Hillel was such Bali Midos, and they always listened to Beis Shammai, whatever Beis Shammai had to say, so Memela, it was almost guaranteed that they were going to come out with the Emes of Pshat. Because if you hold it, Eilu Ve'Eilu means that once you hear enough wrong explanations, you're going to come to the right explanation. So if they would always open their ears to listen to what Beis Shammai had to say, they would hear the Taina, and if they agreed, they would agree, and if they disagreed, they knew exactly why they disagreed. Sorry about that. I can't be late. Okay. Anyway, this is they would know exactly what they disagreed with, what they didn't disagree with, and they could pick it out part by part and figure out what's the pshat along the lines of how some of the Rishonim explained the Yisod of Hilchos Kibasroi. That even though we hold that the earlier generations were greater, we still pass in Hilchos Kibasroi. Okay, so that's perhaps a pshat in terms of why it is that we accept Shitas Beis Hillel if you hold that's the pshat in Eilu Ve'Eilu Devil Kimchayim. What about if you hold like Rashi and the Ritva, like you hold like the standard pshat in the Rishonim? So based on what Rav Nevensal has in a very chashuv v'sicha, well, they're all good, but I'm saying this one in particular is excellent. On Parshas Noach, the Sicha, I think called Mei Noach, really fantastic. Goes through so many wonderful ideas in one Sicha that he really has. It's really Kedai. So anyway, he says that he has an idea that Eilu Ve'Eilu Devil Kimchayim means that in the Olam HaTorah, in the real world, every opinion is equal. Like we said, there's Memtes Ponim Lekan, Memtes Ponim Lekan. And the way you paskin ashayla in this world is that you shtim the mitzias as it exists in this world to that particular opinion in halacha. In other words, there is an opinion in halacha that can fit the mitzias of this world very well, and it's kind of the job of the chachmei hador to work out the mitzias of this world as it applies to the proper interpretation of halacha, or as it applies to a particular interpretation of halacha. And that's what it means that the halacha is nikva, and it's given over to the chachamim shebechol dor vador. Right? So just to be kitzer, you could explain, according to Rav Nevensal, why is it that Beis Hillel was given the psak halacha in this world because of their good midos and their midas harachamim, and we know that this world is a world of midas harachamim. We couldn't function if this was a world of midas hadin. We wouldn't be deserving, and we wouldn't be able to last for 2 seconds. So maybe the pshat in the Gemara is that the midos of Beis and the patience of Beis Hillel was such that it was more matim to a world of midas harachamim. Mashenkin, the Zohar says that la'asid lavo, in the times of Mashiach, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai, not like Beis Hillel, because there the world will be on such a high madrega that we can run up in midas adin. And like I said before, what does it mean? Beis Shammai was mean? They were not nice? They weren't bali midos? Avada, they were gevaldiga bali midos, but they were midas adin. They weren't midas arachamim. And the, midas adin is just as valid as midas arachamim. But l'maisa, it's not a good shidduch for this world. He's saying La'asid Lavo Midasarachamim is gonna Midasarachamim won't be as good of a shidduch because we'll be in the time of the Mashiach where we don't need as much rachamim perhaps. We'll be in a position where we can survive al pi midas adin, midas emes, and therefore we'll be able to paskin like Beis Shammai, and then the mitzias and the halacha will match up differently, and that's what Reb Neventzel says. That's why the Baskol Dafka said elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim alach kedivrei Beis Hillel. He says that the Baskol wasn't paskining the halacha. We know in mashgichin beBaskol, we don't paskin like the Baskol, but rather due to the fact that the Baskol was paskining on the mitzias of this world, that this world was more shaykh to the Shita Beis Hillel, but perhaps less low would be shaykh to the Shita Beis Shammai.